nuts, and I taught and pointed out some things a couple of Thursday nights ago, and I made the statement, I said, that would be a real good message for a homecoming, and I said, one of you preachers might want to take that and preach on it, but the Lord, He directed it back to me, and the more I thought about it, I felt like, well, that's what the Lord wants me to preach on homecoming morning. So, Acts chapter number 16, but we're going to start reading in Philippians chapter number 1 and verses 1 through 7, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And we've had some special singing this morning, and I've enjoyed that, and just good to be in the Lord's house. And Sister Alice called, and we was talking about the special singing and everything. I said, I've made accommodation in my mind for that. I realize we have some extra singing and stuff going on, so don't get nervous on me this morning. But I pray we could just worship the Lord a little while and get something that would really help us and be a blessing out of the Word of God. So let's read in Philippians chapter number 1 and verses 1 through 7, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's until the Lord comes. Until the Lord comes, he has confidence that the Lord is going to accomplish his will in their lives in that church. And then in verse number 7, he said, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for letting us be here today. God, the many blessings that you've given to us, Lord, as we come this morning, we have much to thank you for, much to praise you for. And God, I just ask that you'd speak to our hearts from the Word of God for this time, this morning. I pray, Lord, you would bless our fellowship together this afternoon. I pray, Lord, that it would just be a sweet day, a good day. Lord, we come with happy hearts, but we come with heavy hearts in one respect. Lord, we think of those that aren't here with us today. Makes us long for heaven, makes us look forward to that great reunion day. But God, we know everything's well because we know you're God. Lord, we know you're on your throne today. And God, we know you have all things under your control and watch care, and we praise you for that. And so, Lord, we pray you just have your way today and speak to our hearts. We'll thank you for all you do. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I look around this morning, and I do thank Sister Eulalia, you know, and we miss her, and this is her first Sunday back. And I look around this morning, I see some that hadn't been here in a while, but like to. Sister Wava, and good to see her this morning, and good to see Sister Ella May. I'd miss somebody if I got to looking around, but it's good to see those especially this morning. And it's just a good day to be in the house of the Lord. And I thank God that he's given us the opportunity to be here today. I want to do something just a little bit different starting out this morning here. In verse number 1, Paul, he's writing a letter to the Philippians. And in this letter, you may know it, you may have picked up on it in verse number 7. He says, in my bonds. Paul is writing this letter from prison. He's in prison for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's later in his ministry, maybe even being near to giving his life for preaching the gospel. And so this is years later in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But he writes a letter to the Philippians, and he says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And what I want to do a little bit different this morning, I'd like all the preachers to stand up this morning, all the preachers here at Mount Lebanon. I'd like for you to stand up just for a moment. If you're a preacher, God's called you to preach, you stand up this morning, and we appreciate. You see, they would fit under the category of the bishops there. We don't use that, but, you know, you're a bishop. If God's called you to preach, you're a bishop. Bishop, pastor, preacher, they all come under the same category. I want you wives to stand up this morning because you have a part in the ministry as well. We're thinking about a local church. And so we have the wives, we have the preachers, we have the preachers' wives. Sister Amber back there, she can represent Brother Bradley this morning. I'd like all the deacons to stand up this morning. All the deacons. Maybe you're a deacon out of this church. We have some of those here today. I want you to stand up as well. Brother Jimmy, Brother Finley, y'all stand up. Brother Winford back there, we appreciate all the deacons. Your wives stand up this morning. See, Paul's writing a letter. He's writing a letter and he's recognizing the bishops and the deacons and their families. But he stresses, first of all, he says to all the saints in Christ Jesus, if you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, I'd like for you to stand up. You're a saint. You're a saint. So we're not going to leave you out this morning, but I want you to see something this morning. Paul writes this letter. And he talks about the bishops, and he talks about the deacons, and he talks about all the saints at Philippi. Now, what you see this morning is just a small example, just a small portion. If we were to take time and look back on the board back there, there's a board, and it says, Precious Memories. Precious Memories. And there's a lot of pictures on that board that represents just a small portion of the church down through the years. Just a small portion. You can be seated this morning. And I got everybody to stand up this morning, not to by any means to say anything about us, because we realize we're nothing. But I wonder how many times when we come together to worship the Lord, do we really consider, how did we get here? How did we get here? What is the reason behind the precious memories on the board and the saints of God? And most people here this morning, most of them, you don't even know who they were. How did we get here this morning? Paul writes the letter to Philippi and he recognizes the bishops, the deacons, all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. We have homecoming service today. And the very fact that we have homecoming indicates to us that there's a history behind the church. A new church couldn't have a homecoming service. A young church, a very young church, when I pastored in Idaho, we never had a homecoming service. Homecoming reminds us that families have grown up in this church. Families have went out from this church, and families today would come back to be together with us one more time to celebrate homecoming. That's what homecoming is all about. And homecoming to me is a good time to remember what God's done for us and just how we got here where we are today. Now, Paul knows the people and the history of the church at Philippi. I notice this in verse number 3. As he wrote back to the church at Philippi, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He was remembering the saints. He was remembering the deacons. He was remembering the bishops there in the church at Philippi. And he said in verse number 5, he said, he's thanking God and he's praying for the church at Philippi. In verse 5, he said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And that's what I want to try to preach on for just a few minutes this morning. From the first day until now. And I want you to turn back to Acts chapter number 16. That's what I wanted to point out in the book of Philippians But I want us to go back to Acts chapter number 16. If the church at Philippi ever had a homecoming, and I don't know if they ever did. The Bible does not say. I don't know how long churches have been having homecomings. But if the church at Philippi would have had a homecoming, the Apostle Paul could have been there and preached that, because he was there at the first day. He said, from the first day until now. Paul was there when the church at Philippi was established and founded. And that's what we find in Acts chapter number 16. So we're going to go back and see about that first day until now. And actually, in Acts chapter number 16, there's a biblical example of how a New Testament Bible-believing church ought to be established. And we'll point out some of those things this morning. But let's read in verse number 9 down through verse number 13. The Bible said, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi." There it is. "To Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted hither." Now, the first thing I notice is what ought to be in the establishment of every Bible-believing church. The first thing I want to point out this morning is the call. There must be a call if there's going to be a church. And as I got studying about this, I actually noticed, and I'll point out this morning, there's actually three calls that we could look at in the church at Philippi. First of all, this morning, there's the preacher's call. Now, you notice there in verse number 10, Paul and those that were ministering with him, they're praying about the leadership of God where he wanted them to go. And the Bible said in verse number 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." So we see there's the preacher's call to go into Macedonia and to establish a church over there. Now, I would notice that because I'm a preacher. And I guess this morning I'm sort of biased to the preacher's call and the importance of the preacher being called. Here we find Paul, the preacher, the missionary, the church planner. He receives a call to go into Macedonia to specifically the city of Philippi and to establish a church there. But you know, when I think about preachers being called this morning, I want to take you back in time to a time before any of us that are here today, May the 31st, 1891. May the 31st, 1891, the Reverend F. Calvin Harmon was elected to be the first pastor at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And you say, well, what about him? You know, honestly, this morning, I don't know a lot about him. In fact, I don't know anything about him, but he was the first pastor of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, called May the 31st, 1891. I don't know much about him, and I was reading down through the history of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I don't know a lot about many of the pastors of Mount Lebanon down through the years. Do you know I'm the 23rd pastor of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church? I've been here 8 years. Before me, there was Preacher Carl. He was here 35 years. Before him was Preacher Arnt Greer. I knew him. I don't know how many years he was here, but that would go back about as far as most of us could remember this morning. So most of the pastors that the church has had down through the 121 years now, most of us would not remember them. But I want to say this morning, thank God that He down through the years called somebody to come and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ right here in this community and the communities round about where we are. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Aren't you glad for that this morning? But it said in verse 14, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" There needs to be a preacher that's called to go and preach to the people. There needs to be a call. Paul, he received a vision, and the Bible said in Proverbs 29 and 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." So thank God this morning that there's the preacher's call. But I've seen something else in this passage of Scripture I hadn't noticed before. Not only is there the preacher's call, and I thank God for that, but you know what? There's the people's call. Look in verse number 13 and what the Bible says. The Bible said, "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." You know, let's not underestimate this morning or forget this morning that there was some people, and we don't even have their names or who they were, but there were some people in the city of Philippi that went out beside the river and prayed and met together. And you know, I believe with all my heart that as they went out there and prayed, they were praying about a preacher. They were praying about somebody to come and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. Do you know, I was a missionary. I pastored in Idaho, Burley, Idaho. People say, "Where were you when you were in Idaho?" I say, I pastored a little church by the interstate. The name of it was Burley, Idaho. And I said, unless you are real good with your geography in the state of Idaho, you will never know where that is. But you know what? There's a church there. There's a church there right in the middle of Mormons, surrounded on all of our neighbors, everybody, leaders in the town, everybody in the town, Mormons. But you know what? There's a church there that preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. Why? Because there was some believers in that town that got together one with another, and they said, "You know what? We need a church in this town. We need a preacher in this town. We need to come together. We believe the Bible." And they started out, just a few believers got together and prayed that God would establish a church and send them a preacher so they could have a gospel preaching church in a town that had no gospel witness in that town. They got together. I've been privileged. I got to go twice this year already and preach the gospel in the state of Oklahoma and be out there with Brother Mark and Brother Raymond and to go around and see. I mean, Brother Raymond is a modern day, I would call, hero missionary. When I go around and ride around with him and hear the history of the churches in that area and about everywhere you go, he'll take you somewhere where you think there's nobody or no thing, and he'll say, "There's a little church over there, and we started that church, and they are meeting over there, and they got a preacher over there," and every one of them, they'll say, "Well, there's somebody over there prayed and got together and wanted a church. Wanted a church." Say, "Well, preacher, what's that got to do with us this morning?" I'll tell you, the reason we're here this morning is because over 120 years ago, there's some saints in this community got together and saw the need and had the desire to have a church in this community. I want to read. This is from the 100 year anniversary. And when I came to the church, y'all gave me this history, and I've read this book through several times. But it says in the introduction of this Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, it said, "In the late 1800s, The people of Laurel Fork and Baird's Creek communities began meeting in the Bryan Schoolhouse for worship services. The school was located at the forks of Baird's Creek Road near Brother Newton Minton's house. This was several miles from their home church, Brushy Fork. Now, some of you don't know the geography of the area, but people in this community used to walk across this mountain behind the church to go to church over in Brushy Fork. And so the people in this community, it became necessary to have a meeting place in their own community. Said the little log schoolhouse had one room and was heated by wood. The only source of light was candles. The windows were covered with shutters that were open during services. During weekdays, the schoolhouse was alive with children, but on Sundays, it became a very sacred place. Aren't you glad this morning I got to thinking about that? There's a lot of communities across America this morning that the leaders in that community got together and they said, we want to have, and they set about to build towns, stores, schools, universities, bars, all kinds of things. Aren't you glad somebody got together before you and I were ever even thought of to come into this world and said, you know, of all the things that we'd like to have in this community, we'd like to have a church. We'd like to have a church. I thought about this. You know what? The schoolhouse is gone. I've heard people talk about they evidently used to be a store that everybody gathered at and went to down the road here at the end of Liberty Hill. And I've heard people talk about going and meeting down at the store. You know what? The store's gone. Well, thank God the church is still here. Church is still here. I'm glad they some people got together and they prayed and they got the will of God concerning that thing. And they said, you know what? We want a church. In this little community, there's a preacher's call, there's a people's call. But I want you to see in verse number 10, first and foremost, there's the predominant call. The Bible said in verse number 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. That's the main call right there. The Lord had called them to go and to preach the gospel unto them over 120 years ago now. The whole nation, if you know anything about that time period, you will know this morning that the whole nation had yet to recover from the Civil War. Hard times I'm talking about, not like we're used to. Not like we know about, but a time of great poverty in our nation. Most people around here didn't even have any money. They didn't walk around with money in their pockets and they didn't run to the bank and run to the store every day and spend money. Most people during that time did not even have any money. I was reading through the history there. Do you know the church was established May 31st? And according to the history, the first recorded collection was not until September. Can you imagine having church 4 months and not having an offering? Say, preacher, we've been here less than an hour and you already had two. Say, I don't know if I like that. You better thank God for it. You better thank God for it. Evidently, they had church 4 months and didn't even have an offering, didn't even take up. And you know what? The first recorded offering that they had September 5th, 1891 was for 10 cents. Praise God. 10 cents. Got together. Been together 4 months, hadn't even had an offering. Now we're going to have one, 10 cents. In 1924, the year 1924, they collected between 20 and 80 cents every Sunday. Well, they're moving up. They're moving up in the world. In 1930, in the 30s, they averaged a dollar every Sunday. And by the 1950s, every Sunday school class was given about $5. A Sunday. And I say all that to say this morning. Do you know the world cannot back. The world cannot set up a lemonade stand without spending money. Nobody in the world thinks about doing nothing until they think about, have we got the money? Can we buy? Can we do this? But there's a God in heaven that before the foundation of the world, He can start His work, no money down. And evidently He can do a real good job down through the years of bringing along His work and building His work and all of these things without any money. That's not what's important to God. God did all this. We look around this morning from very, very humble beginnings before Daniel Boone ever blazed a trail across the mountain and before the pilgrims came and before the Indians were here, God looked down upon the mountains and said, one day I believe that'd be a good place to plant some churches. Oh, I'll thank God for that this morning. There's a lot of places in the world. They don't have a gospel preaching church. They don't have a godly heritage. And God looked down and He said, I believe I'll plant some churches. And I believe I'll call some preachers and some deacons and Sunday school teachers. And I believe I'll put joy in their heart and I'll give them a song to sing. Praise God. God's been good to us down through the years. What a praise you say, oh preacher, I don't know if I believe that or not. Psalms 91 and 2 says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth. Praise God, you ought to stop and shout right there. Before God made the mountains, God gave us a dwelling place. And it's in Him. God said, I'm going to call out a people. I'm going to plant some churches. I'm going to put a song in their heart. I'm going to give them revival. I'm going to be with them through the hard times. And when they don't have nothing, God said, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to bless them for generations and generations. There's the predominant call. It blesses my heart this morning to think that God called the church into being. There's the predominant call. There's the people's call. There's the preacher's call. Look in verse number 14. There's the converts. Whenever there's church, there's going to be converts. Verse 14 said, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. That's salvation right there. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I'm going to lump in verse number 15. Not only is there the converts, but there's the construction material. It said in verse 15, and when she was baptized in her household, praise God, after she got saved, Paul didn't have to send out the FBI to run her down. And the people in her house, they got saved, they got baptized. If you're going to have a church, you're going to have a call, you're going to have converts, and you're going to have construction material. That's the people that got baptized, that followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Let me read this to you. Look what it says. During the first year, Mount Lebanon had a revival meeting that lasted from the fifth Sunday in November until December 13th, 1891. Now, if I announced we was going to have a two-week revival right before Christmas, I'm telling you, the Grinch would show up, wouldn't he? Preacher, good Lord, we got enough going on. We got Thanksgiving, we got school, we got family, we got all this stuff going on. God might accommodate us and take some of that stuff away. And they had a two-week revival. As a result of this revival meeting, 17 joined the church by experience of faith in Jesus and baptism, and 4 by letter. By experience of faith in Jesus Christ and baptism, and 4 by letter. 17 people got saved by the grace of God. Joined the church by baptism. 4 come and join by letter. These new converts were baptized in the little stream which flows by Brother Lee Earp's house directly beside our present church. Through the years, the baptizings were moved from place to place in the creek flowing in front of the present residence of Sister Addie Danner. Brother Gideon Walls said he could always tell if the church would have a good revival by the size of the baptizing hole that the Lord had made in the creek. Amen. We're going to have a good revival because God made a big baptizing hole this year. Woo-hoo! God said they may not have nothing. They may be poor as dirt, but God said, I'll dig the hole in the creek and they can bury the people in and I'll save them and I'll build the work. Buddy, I like that. I like that. You got to have some people to work with. And I like that. It said on one revival meeting at the old Bryan Schoolhouse is remembered by Sister Texie Cornell Cannon, age 94 years old. She said, I remember when I was a small girl going to revival during the day. Mama would pack us a basket of lunch and we would walk up Baird's Creek to church. I remember the old ladies in their long dresses and bonnets. Someone always shouted. It just didn't seem like you'd been to church if someone didn't shout. Amen. That's our heritage. It's all right to shout. God's been good. God's blessed us and blessed us down through the years. My goodness, we ought to praise Him for what He's done. Some of you here today are the direct fruit of those early years. You are here because they did what they were supposed to do before God. Many of you here are the direct result, the fruit of those early years. Not only do we enjoy the fruit, but we also now get to work in the field. We get to work in the field. In 1892, the church pledged $1 to foreign missions. People say, oh, I'd like to go back in them days. Well, I sort of would too. But I'll tell you, the work of the Lord is pretty exciting right now. You think on that side's all the missionaries that we get a little part in getting the gospel out into all the world. Started out, the church said, we'll give $1. That was a lot. Back then, look what God allows us to do now. Look what God does through us. We're nobody. We're nothing. We ought to be in hell with our back broke. But I'm telling you, God had mercy. And God reached down and saved some folks. And we get to have a part in His work. You don't think about it. You don't realize it. But do you know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ goes out from this pulpit across the radio airwaves week after week, 6 days a week in 6 or 7 states in the United States of America? From right here, the gospel's going out. Boy, it ought to excite you. Right over there on Thursday nights, people's learning, training to be Christian workers and work in the field. We've got in the school this year 70 students. It's the most students that we've ever had. People interested in learning more about the Word of God so they can go out and do something for the Lord. That's exciting. That's exciting. You're having a part. Each and every one of you here this morning has a little part in what we're doing. You got gospel preachers, you got people praying and coming, and we've all got a part. What a blessing. There's got to be converts. There's got to be construction material. And last of all, I'll close by saying this morning in the last part of verse number 15, there's the church. Paul said, from the first day until now, and he talks about this lady, and it says, this lady said to them, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. She constrained us. That's how that church at Philippi got started. There's some people praying. There's some preachers went. God had ordained that that's the way it's going to be. And God arranged a meeting down there by the river where there's some people went and prayed. And this lady got saved and the people in her house got saved. That's what it says. They got baptized and she told Paul, she said, if you judge me faithful, won't you just come in my house and start a church? That thrills my soul. And you look around this morning, our beginnings were at that humble, or at least that humble this morning. And that's where that church started, where Paul, years later, wrote the letter to the saints and to the bishops and to the deacons. Now let me show you the key to that church down through the years. That lady said, if ye have judged me faithful. You ought to underline that in your Bible. You don't know how to have a church that lasts? Better be faithful. Church, we ought to be faithful. What to be faithful because there's others that were faithful before us. What to be faithful to this book. What to be faithful to the old time worship. The old paths. What to be faithful to the old songs. What to be faithful to the old ways. Because somebody was faithful before you and I ever came into this world. And so that way, if the world, if time goes on another 120 years, somebody somewhere will stand up and say about Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, somebody in the past was faithful. And that's why we're here today. Faithful. Say, preacher, I'd like to do something. Just be faithful. There's a lot of people down through the years. I'm telling this morning how many thousands of people have been saved as a result of this church's ministry down through the years. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. If every one of us just do what we knew the Lord wanted us to do, we got a lot to be thankful for. We couldn't even have a homecoming if we didn't have a history. And I'm like David said in Psalm 16 and 6. He said, the lines are falling unto me in goodly places. Or in good places, I have a goodly heritage. He's saying, I've got a godly heritage that he was thankful for. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.